facility to the field with ability. Athletes are working hard, the progression is stressing. People are set, some of the passing. The smell of the grass and the pain and the action, the focus, the passion, the thought of the plaque and the trophy all made out to your name. It's the money, it's the fame, it's the feeling they get when they're playing the game. What's the number on their back and the representing name? Sam J playing way back in the day, it's glory, it's scoring. This is a story, this is Sports Nation. It's been this way for generations. Pro Sports Extra is where I get my information. Athletes with their pursuits and endeavors, sports will entertain the whole world. It'll be this way forever. And for more of that, we going live to Trevor the Expert.
Hey, what's going on, PSE Nation? Actually, there's a mix-up, little thing going on. Trev's not here today, so right now, co-host, me, AJ. I'm going to run show right now. Forrester, new guy on PSE, he's going to be calling in a second now. But yeah, you know, you get me today. We're going to test the waters out. Who knows, maybe it'll be deleted by tomorrow because I just do a terrible job. But, you know, we'll see. We'll talk some topics I want to talk about. Real quick, we'll mention to start off with, I'm a big NHL guy. We'll start off with a couple things happened today. Tyler Seguin signed a deal, 8-year extension with the Dallas Stars. That was kind of weird because Dallas, you know, Dallas is all right, but they haven't been going anywhere recently. So I always thought after his contract ends up that he would he'd be leaving. So it's kind of weird just to see him sign the extension. It kind of means, you know, he's there for the long haul. He wants to see the team do good. So that's one of the two big news. Second one is there was a big trade today. Big trade. So Erik Karlsson of the Ottawa Senators has finally been traded to the San Jose Sharks. Now, this is going to be huge, mainly because the Sharks' D is going to be amazing. You know what? Actually, we have a caller coming in. So I'll try and get them on here.
Hey, Austin,
hey, what's going
it's Tony
on,
from Boston. Tony from Boston, Mass. How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Okay, actually, this is Nolan Kramer from Marquette, Michigan.
Yeah, yep. How you doing, Nolan?
I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
Good. We were actually just talking about the current NHL news right now.
Oh, wow. Yeah, did you hear about that Erik Karlsson trade? Whew, wow.
Yeah, you know, I was working when I found out. I'm finally glad. I think he wanted out to begin with this season after some ownership ways, and it's finally good to see him out of there.
Hi, this is Jake from Marquette, Michigan as well.
How you doing, Jake?
All right. Honestly, I think it's crazy that he's going, to the Western Conference and to a team like the Sharks. How do you think he's going to fit in, like, on that team? Who do you see him playing with, honestly?
You know, it's tough to see who he's going to play with because he's so versatile. I'm not sure if you'd want to combo him with Bernsey. But the one thing I'm looking forward to definitely is their PP. I saw a quick 5-man overview of what it could look like, and it just looked absolutely filthy. I saw another stat that I'm pretty sure between the two, like their defensemen and adding Karlsson, just defense alone, they've had like 200 points. So it's gonna be even more production coming from the back end this year.
Yeah. So who do you think their top six is now after the trade?
Top six. I haven't looked at the roster in a while, especially with preseason coming up. I'm just starting to now get back in the swing of things for NHL. So
I know that's
really
question.
Tough to call.
But not even that. But yeah, it's just cool to see him go to another team and see what's gonna happen. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, especially because I think he, you know, especially you saw in the last game at home, he took the puck. So you kind of had the vibe of, hey, I'm going to get out of here by
like,
the end of the season.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
How do you feel about the GMs over in Ottawa? I mean, I don't know what they're doing over there, to be quite honest.
Yeah, at this point, you're worried what's going to happen in Ottawa. Basically, what I think is going to happen is you're going to have to really maybe do a slight rebuild, not go full blown to where you're going to tank the entire season. But to get back to where they were, I think it'll take at least 2-3 years.
All right, man. Well, we're thinking that the Sharks are going to have a good year, honestly. Probably make it to the playoffs, and who knows what then.
Mm-hmm. Where do you think they're going to go? Like, how far do you think they're going to go in the playoffs?
I mean, it depends, like, honestly, because I don't know how it's really going to work out, but if it works out the way we think, then probably they'll make it into the top five of the West, and then they could probably make it all the way to the semis, who knows, even to the Cup.
Mm. Now, I have to ask you two questions real quick, because it happened today, obviously, with the Carlson trade and a signing of Max Pacioretty going to the Vegas Golden Knights. How crazy do you think it is for two captains to be moved in near a week?
I think that's nuts, because that shakes up not only the teams that they move to, but the teams they leave, because who's going to become the leader, and how does a leader walk into another team with pre-existing leaders that are already there?
Exactly, and some of these teams that's your main guy to go to, that's your go-to guy. So who, especially I was looking at the Montreal roster a little bit, seeing the swing through of guys, and I was really looking at where's the next man up at there, so...
Right, right. Yeah, it should be interesting. I like that Domi move as well to Montreal. He's a great player.
Oh, yeah, I think he's going to fit right into their scheme as well. They're kind of hard-nosed players up there in Montreal, so.
Right, I mean, coming from his dad, like, he ought to be, right?
Oh, yeah. What else we got?
All right, well... We'd love to fucking talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, man. We'll be here.
Nolan Kramer wants a feature on the website.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, man. Love you, Sheltie.
All right, see you, boys.
Peace.
Thanks to the two boys in Marquette for calling in, talking some chow with me. Great conversation starting off with the NHL. Real quick, while we're still waiting for Forster to call in, I'm going to get into my Lions talk. Me and Trev talked about it on Tuesday. Man, I'm still heated over this. Like, there's a positive of it's one game, but the negative is it's one fucking game. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it looked like the players give up. And I get it that that's Matt Patricia coming in. Actually, we have Forster coming in right now. So I'll make him go live real quick. Hey, what's going on?
Oh, not too much, boys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, of course. So you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Tell PSC Nation who you are, where you're from, what you're going to be doing here?
Absolutely. I am Forrester for everyone that is listening in. I actually am a contributor for the Sideline Report. Specializing in the Detroit Lions, post about them twice a week. My articles have been out since last year, so I've been posting twice a week since then. Pretty cool gig. And, I've been going to Wayne State, not just for broadcast journalism, which I'm done with that. I'm going to continue my education and get either a master's in journalism, or I'm going to get a business degree, because I did the Scouting Academy online as well and was able to do that stuff. So, in order to get into the front office and that sort of stuff, you got to have a little bit of a business background. But, even just outside of normal, Detroit Lions, where I'm from here in Michigan, born and raised, I know the NFL, love the NFL a lot. I watch whenever I can. And in particular, fantasy football is something I really enjoy too. Stuff like the FanDuel and the DraftKings, I'm pretty good at. at least winning my money back. It's pretty tough to win money in that thing, but I can definitely put forth a good effort in that.
Mm-hmm. Now, just to start off with, if you just want to throw like all your social media out, that way everyone listening can go check your stuff out. go check all your articles, just, you know, find out a little more about you?
Oh, yeah. The Side Lion Report. So SideLion Report. Side Lion. Sounds like Side Lion Report, but it's Side Lion Report. It's a fan-sided site, and fan-sided is owned by Time Incorporated. So that's where you can find my articles. I post on Wednesdays and Sundays. And then, of course, my Twitter handle as FSOLMEN12. And you can find me on Facebook, Forrester Solomon, as well. But, you know, mostly on Twitter, interacting with fans, and people can comment on my articles and whatnot, and we can talk Lions and talk NFL in general.
All right. And don't forget, you can also check out more blogs, podcasts, www.prosportsextra.com. You know, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at prosportsextra. If you're looking to call in, number 563-999-3674. All right, Forrester, you know, you're coming in, so let's talk about one of your topics. Well, I think one thing we talked about a little bit in our chat was you want to talk about tonight's game for the NFL, right?
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to give us kind of like a brief preview of the game real quick while I can pull it up.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Well, as we've all seen, you know, Joe Flacco last week, you know, really came on and had himself a game against Buffalo, but it's looking like Buffalo might end up being one of the worst teams in the NFL, but he's definitely a man on a mission. You know, he has a lot of pressure behind him, you know, not just with former first-round pick RG3, but you got Lamar Jackson, the new heir apparent, if you will, because it's almost written in stone that he's going to be the quarterback of the future. But he's going to be taking on Cincinnati, and it's going to be in Cincinnati. It's a hostile environment, and he's 3-6 in that building at Paul Brown Stadium, so it's going to be a tough matchup for sure. And, you know, Cincinnati themselves, you know, they had a good win against the Colts. They made it a little bit difficult, and the Colts really aren't that great of a team themselves. But, you know, even though Flacco has had his struggles, you know, and I'm going to go against the grain a little bit, I think that the Baltimore Ravens, which, by the way, Cincinnati, you know, they have themselves a pretty good defense. I think Flacco is the one that ends up with less turnovers. And now that he's got some weapons to throw to, I think he might actually be able to do something there in Cincinnati, which for the past couple of years he's really struggled to get the football out and do some things because they haven't had many good weapons.
Mm-hmm. So I think you mentioned a little bit. So who do you think is going to win tonight?
I'm going to go with the Ravens. You know, like
Ravens.
I was kind of saying, I know that the record would indicate otherwise, but, you know, Flacco's got some pretty solid weapons. Not only did they draft a couple of tight ends, one of which, you know, Hayden Hurst, he's going to be out. He's got an injury, but Mark Andrews, he's their premier catcher. Their other weapons that they signed, you know, they brought in John Brown from Arizona, and they brought in Michael Crabtree from the Raiders, and both those guys are significant upgrades to what they've been having in the past. And, you know, Alex Collins, he can run the hell out of the football. But I'm telling you, the Cincinnati Bengals have weapons too, you know, and they both got tough defenses. So it's going to come down to the wire. But I think the man that's most motivated, which is Joe Flacco, I think he ends up pulling away and coming away with the win in Cincinnati.
Okay. So, yeah, that's actually who I have, too. I have Baltimore coming just because I was reading a little bit about it today. And, you know, the Ravens have some bad blood right now with Cincinnati, if you remember from last year. The Ravens were denied the playoff entry from the loss to Cincinnati on New Year's Eve, Week 17. And especially coming into their building, I think they got a little bit more to prove. I think it's going to be a great game. You know, like we were talking about the quarterback, I think it's going to be a quarterback duel against two great defenses. You know, but in the end, I think Baltimore is going to pull away with that game.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's going to be a nail biter. I think both these teams, you know, especially on the offensive side with their blockers, you know, their offensive lines are a little bit weaker, and but both teams are very stout on the defensive line. So I think both quarterbacks are going to have to get creative and find a way to get rid of that football quickly. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a bunch of points being thrown out there. I do think that it's going to be a close scoring game, and it's really just going to come down to, you know, which guy can have the weapons, make the plays, and really outside of William Jackson, which is Cincinnati Bengals cornerback. You know, I don't really have much confidence in the guys that are going to be, you know, covering, and they're going to have their safety, Sean Williams, back. So, you know, that should be helpful because he was ejected from the game, or at least, you know, I'd have to look into that to see if he's actually going to be back or not. But I do think that the Baltimore Ravens are set up for more success in this game. But, you know, whenever you got A.J. Green, which if you think about it, A.J. Green is like today's Kelvin Johnson. He's been in Cincinnati for his entire career. They haven't really done anything, and he's just kind of withered away. And, you know, it's really sad to see a guy with so much talent not be able to have much success. But, you know, when you got a guy like that, you can kind of throw it up to him and he'll come down with it. And you just got to see how it plays out, but it'll be fun to watch.
Oh, definitely. And it's always nice to have a little bit of Thursday night football to give us a little bit of preview to start the week off, especially with college football on Saturdays now too. So it shortens the weekend a little bit, or it makes you feel like the weekend's a little closer. So real quick, we have a pretty cool announcement. I wanted to try that horn out. We will check it out on social media. We'll be announcing, we should be doing a Sunday podcast. It should be myself, my co-host right here right now, and I think Trevor might even hop in with us. It'll be from 11 to 11:45, I believe, in the morning, Eastern. We'll talk a little bit about the matchups. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be powered by FanDuel. So be on the lookout for that as well. Go back and listen to the podcast from Wednesday, Wagner Vision, and 30-minute timeout with Ron and Boomer. Still, again, I mentioned it Tuesday. Shout out to Ron because he is in 10th place in our PSE, like, you know, PSE guys and PSE fans, Fantasy Football League. He's in 10th place. He was talking a whole bunch of junk during the draft. And your boy, AJ, is in first place. Even though it's only 1 week, I still have the most points for, so it ranked me first. So, again, don't at me, Ron. Next up, you being from Michigan, I'm from Michigan. And I touched a little bit on it right before you came in. Me and Trev talked about it Tuesday. You know, what do you think about the Lions' performance on Monday Night Football?
Well, there's not much to think about. I pretty much know just from looking at it and watching it, it was an embarrassment. It was disgraceful, very distasteful, you know, and on national television too. So, you know, everyone got to see firsthand the kind of embarrassing performance we put on. And, you know, it's really confusing to me because, you know, I didn't think we were you know, a team that was going to go 9-7 again. You know, I thought that it's a harder schedule. It's going to be a new system. But they just came out so unmotivated. And I understand, you know, Jim Caldwell's not going to give you more. And he had to be fired anyways. But I'm telling you, I don't think Caldwell's team comes out and lays an egg like that. And for whatever it's worth, I do think, you know, with the rumors circulating, I do believe Patricia is rubbing a lot of players the wrong way. He's coming off with a mentality that he has no business coming off like, because guess what? He hasn't proven himself in any capacity. whatsoever. Mm-hmm. He's never been a head coach at the NFL level. He hasn't. He doesn't have Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and, you know, Josh McDaniels to lean on anymore. So I can understand the tough guy mentality, but I think he's got to bring it back a little bit because he has to win over this locker room. You know, you can't just come into a new place and be the way that he's being, at least according to reports. And you can even see in the game, you can see them just give up. I fully believe that he is not winning over his players. And when you don't win over your players, you're not going to go out there and give an effort that's going to help you win the game. So, and, you know, a guy that's got to be held accountable to is Jim Bob Cooter, because that offense is very predictable. And, you know, they got creative when they came out of the half. And actually the touchdown pass that they threw to Golden Tate, they had LeGarrette Blount and fullback Nick Bellore out wide. So there was five receivers. And in that formation, we were able to score with Golden Tate. So that's kind of the creative stuff that you want to see. But then, of course, you have the other place where you turn it over a bunch of times. And that falls on quarterback Matthew Stafford, too, because you got to see things pre-snap. You can't just go off of what the play call is. You got to be able to do more than just what your coach tells you to do. Sometimes you got to change things up at the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that's where it really hurt, you know, him throwing into places where no one was there. I think Matthew Stafford has to be held accountable quite a bit. You know, I'm not going to dog on him too much because he's our franchise guy. And, you know, it's one bad game, so you can't hold on to it too much. But overall, the Lions are showing that, you know, their playoff aspirations are most likely just a pipe dream.
Mm-hmm. If you guys want to talk about the Lions real quick, I'll throw out the number at you, 563-999-3674. We got AJ and Forrester on here on the podcast. Trev's not here. He's taking the night off. He's like me, or he's not like me, you know, sleeping through last Tuesday's podcast. But you know what? We're going to make do with what we got here, right here. So, I'll give you my take on it. I truly believe, I mean, I played college hockey a little bit, so I kind of like a little higher the, you know, at that experience kind of level. Guys do quit, and what I saw from the third quarter on, I saw guys quitting. I felt like maybe they weren't half-assing it, and especially it goes back to some of these reports coming in from training camp of Patricia working them hard. And like you said, you can't just come in, completely go to your style. I think you kind of have to learn your players a little bit, learn the room, and kind of see how your method fits in right there. Going to Frisco on Sunday, I think we all can hope that we see something completely different than what we saw Monday night. I think we will. And talking about Jim Bob Cooter, I asked Trev, and we both agree that he is. Let me get your take on it. The next person out that, you know, that's going out beside, like, not a player, but personnel-wise, I think it's Jim Bob Cooter. I think he's on the hot seat. I think if they go out and have another bad showing on offense, kind of like they did last game, I think, you know, JBC is on the hot seat. What's your take here? I know we got about 3.5 minutes left.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that he is certainly on the hot seat. You have to this year, you know, last year, you know, our defense bailed us out quite a bit. You know, it wasn't just our offense scoring points. So even though we were, you know, seventh best in the league, a lot of that had to do with the third best special teams / defensive scoring. So he's definitely a guy that has to step it up, and, you know, he makes Matthew Stafford above average, but Matthew Stafford could be so much better with a better offensive coordinator. And the way that Bob Quinn is running things with the Patriot connections, with Patricia himself, with a lot of Syracuse connections and guys that he's kind of bringing in that really don't necessarily, I think, deserve to be here. I mean, like Paul Pasqualoni, you know, he was a former Syracuse head coach, and he was, you know, the guy above a bunch of guys that are on this staff right now, including Patricia. So it's kind of just like returning a favor for him and extending favors to other guys like David Stewart, I believe is his name, defensive back coach. And then Walker is the running back coach. Those guys were at Syracuse as well. But, you know, so he could be just on the, not even just on the hot seat, but because he doesn't have that connection to Patricia, you know, that could make him more expendable as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, and another thing we could talk about real quick, we got a minute 50. So we got about 50 seconds. I'll take 25 real quick. Who do you think the biggest receiver was on Monday Night Football? I think it was Galladay. I saw him in the third quarter. It was a third and something, third and long. And, Stafford threw the ball up high, third down far, and you're getting crushed. Dude still jumped up out of the air knowing he could get taken out, flattened, and he still made the play. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know how many wide receivers in NFL history have ever had 100 yards and a forced fumble and a forced fumble recovery in the same game. Yeah, that's just that's just fantastic. You know, you can take away that 100-yard game. If he had 40 something yards and he still had that forced fumble, I mean, that was textbook. That was like Charles Peanut Tillman of the Bears coming in there and literally punching that football out and, you know, sending Tremaine Johnson to the locker room. You know, he eventually came back in, but, you know, when you can see him making tough catches and, you know, blasting guys out of the game and getting the football back, you know, you're going to win your quarterback and your coaching staff over with plays like that.
Exactly, exactly. So, Forrester, you want to throw out your social media plugs one more time before we get cut off?
Absolutely. You know, the Twitter handle is FSOLMEN, FSOLMEN12. And, you know, of course, on Facebook, Forrester Solomon, you can follow me there. And talking football all the time, Lions, fantasy, NFL in general, all that.
Perfect. Remember, you can find all our stuff, www.prosportsextra.com. I think your first podcast with us was a success. So have a great day, man.
Yeah, you too. We'll keep at it.